Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land, land, land.
Rock Down Under. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Coming up on the show later today, the founder of the British band The Real Tuesday Weld talks about a jazzy cabaret style that he calls antique beat. But first, when most of us think of Australian rock, this 80s nugget by Men at Work might come to mind. But today's Aussie rockers have much more to offer you than just a bite of their Vegemite sandwich.
Purple June, but one crowded hour would lead to my wrecking moon. I know you like your boys.
This band, Augie March, just took Song of the Year honors in Australia for this track, One Crowded Hour. We'll hear from Augie March in a few minutes, but first we'll find out what sets Augie March and other new Australian bands apart from earlier Australian groups like INXS, Radio Birdman, or even AC/DC. Rolling Stone's senior editor David Frick has traveled to Australia and written about some of the bands down under and joins us by phone. David, good to talk to you again.
Nice to be here.
So Australia has always been part of rock history, but maybe an underappreciated part. Is there something specifically Australian that you heard traveling through the island continent?
I think there's an Australian character that just permeates all of the best music there, and that character is that you kind of have to fight for everything. You know, to come to this country, it's a long distance. To tour here is a real commitment, and even to play in Australia, you're traveling long distances between cities. The audiences are extremely discriminating, and they don't accept, you know, anything below. You know, they don't like substandard music. They want things that are really going to get them off, whether it's a great ballad or an intense rocker or, you know, really soaring blues. They have very high standards there, and that's something that I've seen in just about every great Australian band I've ever heard or written about.
Well, you mentioned that it can be a real geographic disadvantage because it's such a long and expensive flight to be able to get from Australia to tour in the States, and yet we're seeing a new wave of Australian bands doing exactly that. Do you see it as, you know, a kind of second invasion of Australian rock coming to these shores?
It's almost like the fifth or the sixth. You can go back to the Easy Beats and the Bee Gees in the mid-60s going to England and in turn having their records exported to America. AC/DC basically, you know, conquered Australia and then really just committed themselves to playing every, you know, arena opening act slot that they could in order to convince people that, you know, they had something really special that was going to blow them away every night. Midnight Oil, INXS, you know, Men at Work, they did the same thing in the 80s. I think that there's been actually a constant stream, but it takes a while for radio, for the media to really pay attention, and then they bundle them into these invasions. And in fact, I think it's actually been a very steady, you know, it's been a very steady stream of quality export, you know, literally going back to Friday on My Mind.
And I guess when you get to the level of, say, an AC/DC, I mean, there are probably a lot of people who were fans of that band who had no idea what country they were from. They sort of transcended where they came from.
Well, it's interesting because I think there's a part of Australian history that people don't realize, which is, like America, it was built by immigrants. They certainly had their indigenous population, and Aboriginal music there is a whole other stream that is worth study. But Angus and Malcolm Young from AC/DC, they were born in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Bon Scott was born in Scotland. They grew up in Australia. Their brother George, who was in the Easy Beats, again, born in Scotland, you know, found success and, you know, a great band to play in Australia. So there's actually sort of a European character that's also part of the Australian cultural experience.
Let's hear a little bit of that Australian melting pot in action, the band AC/DC.
Season ticket on a one-way ride.
Well, that was all over American radio back in the day, but AC/DC came from down under. Highway to Hell started apparently in Australia, or maybe even further back in Scotland, where some of the band members were born, as David Frick, senior editor of Rolling Stone magazine, was telling us. We're talking about the sort of next wave of Australian rock bands hitting these shores. And David, there do seem to be a number of them. I mean, we have the members of Augie March going to play for us in a couple of minutes. Silverchair, Jet is an Australian band.
They're from Australia. Wolf Mother is from Australia. You also have this sort of almost avant-garde pop dance thing that Architecture in Helsinki do.
Mm-hmm.
John Butler, who is a singer-songwriter with kind of a reggae sort of rural folk influence. He's Australian. Eskimo Joe, Something for Kay. It's a really rich scene down there, and in many ways, what we're getting is the best of a rich scene. Augie March are a fantastic band. I saw them play last night, and although they had some, you know, equipment problems, I guess a Hammond organ blew up on them earlier in the day. But you know, I could see through all that you know, the songs are there, the singing is there. And I really like their records a lot. They have every right to be on American radio.
Well, then they'll be doing just that for us in a couple of minutes. But tell me a little bit about Wolf Mother, who have gained a lot of traction in the indie rock world. And I think, you know, just as a band, not as an Australian band. To go back to an earlier question, do you hear something Australian in Wolf Mother?
Well, one of the things that I've always found about Australian music is that the most Australian thing about them is their openness. It's really a place that has been open to influences. You certainly have the European and the British influence because of the people that initially came over from Britain, but they also have a lot of American music coming to them. There's the surf culture there. And what you end up getting is this really unique mix of musics from different places. On one hand, you've got Radio Birdman, who took that Detroit high energy thing and turned it into an early version of punk rock, and at the same time, there are a lot of bands down there that have used the influence of Dylan and the Band and American country music.
That certainly is not Wolf Mother, though.
That's not necessarily Wolf Mother, but you know, you look at Wolf Mother, and they're, you know, they were teenagers. You know, they literally made their demo and their independent record, their debut, as teenagers. You know, taking a lot of 70s metal and, you know, turning it into something that was really honed in, you know, Australian bars and clubs, which are a tough place to play.
Well, and Rolling Stone, your magazine, called them one of the top 10 bands to watch in 2006. They got onto the soundtrack of Spider-Man 3, and this is from their self-titled 2006 LP, the group Wolf Mother. The band is Wolf Mother from Australia, from their 2006 self-titled record. We're speaking with David Frick, senior editor at Rolling Stone magazine, about some of the Australian rock that is hitting these shores. We'll have a live performance from the band Augie March in just a couple of minutes. But David, we had Jim Farber from the Daily News, the New York Daily News, on the program last week, and he was talking about, you know, looking forward to the fall release of the new album by Eskimo Joe, another Australian group that you mentioned just a moment ago. Jim Farber called them one of the up-and-comers who've got dibs on a breakout. Do you think, is it possible for an Australian band to really break out here in the States without having, you know, the possibility to do like a substantial tour first?
With the internet, with bands getting their records on soundtracks and in ads, you know, I think a lot of the avenues that were not open to bands in the 60s and the 70s are definitely there. But I also think that one of the things that makes believers out of people who just like a record or a song is seeing bands live. That was the thing that all that Midnight Oil had an enormous devoted audience, and it was almost entirely based on their early live shows here. AC/DC was not on the radio a lot in the 70s. We remember Highway to Hell and Back in Black, but a lot of radio guys would not play that stuff because they thought it was too raw and silly. And so their fan base was entirely based on live performance. The combination of seeing these groups perform and the access really to, you know, these new avenues like MySpace, the internet, TV shows and soundtracks, it definitely gives them a leg up, and I think a band like Eskimo Joe can take advantage of that. But if you want to really have fans as opposed to people who just like your one song, mm-hmm. you got a gig.
You got it. Yeah, you have to be able to get out there and tour. Now, Eskimo Joe, this record drops here in the States next Tuesday, September 25th. Here's a little bit of a song called Black Fingernails, Red Wine. The band is called Eskimo Joe from Australia, one of a number of Australian rock bands who are beginning to attract a fair amount of attention here in the States. We've been speaking with David Frick, senior editor at Rolling Stone magazine, who has gone down to Australia, written about the scene there. Is it, just a final question, David, is it a substantially different scene? Is there something new happening in Australia that wasn't happening before?
I think that their industry, the outlets that the bands have, you know, it's matured the same way it's changed and matured everywhere else. But one of the things that has been a real constant and always been important there has been the power of live performance. It really toughens a band up. Mm-hmm. And so that when they're ready to come to America or go to Europe, they've already got their thing together and they're ready to kill. And inevitably, you know, that's the thing that gets people first. I think a hit song is great. But every time I've seen a great Australian band, it's always been the live show that gets me because, you know, they work hard, they play hard, and that's something that's expected of a rock band down there.
Well, David, the members of Augie March have been sitting here patiently waiting their turn to do exactly that, to give us a live performance, which they'll do after the break. Thank you for joining us once again on Soundcheck today.
It's always a pleasure.
So, still to come, we'll talk with the members of one of the latest Australian bands to shoot for success here in the States and in Europe, the band Augie March, sharing songs from their new record, which is called Moo, You Bloody Choir. And later we'll find out about the so-called antique beat of London's The Real Tuesday Weld. This is Soundcheck.